Why do we exist? Were we created with a purpose? Or are we just here by chance? What are we to believe about life, faith, and worldview? Welcome to The Universe Next Door, focusing on answers to the questions we all consider. The Universe Next Door is supported by the C.S. Lewis Society, Trinity College of Florida, and supported by gifts from listeners just like you. Discover more resources and continue the conversation at apologetics.org. And now, your host, the research professor of Bible and theology at Trinity College of Florida, author and speaker, Dr. Tom Woodward.
Welcome to The Universe Next Door. I hope you are doing fabulous today, and we are excited to get ready to dive into an array of topics on science, on worldview, on you name it. And we have a special guest once again. He is Dr. Tom Woodward, and we are bringing him in over the phone to keep in line with the social distancing orders. So, Dr. Woodward, how are you doing today?
Oh, I feel very obedient to government authorities. How are you feeling, Nick Shauna?
I'm feeling like Romans 13, feeling wonderful.
That's right, Romans 13, be submissive to the powers that exist, for they are ordained of God. Woohoo! I'm going to give you 10 points on your final exam credit here. Well done. So we are really delighted that we could have an opportunity to present the case for the Christian worldview, the case for Christianity, the teachings that come from 66 books of the Old and New Testament, and specifically the case for Christ. And the case for Christ just grows stronger and stronger. It was strong when Christ was here ministering publicly for maybe a bit over 3 years. And then, of course, gave his life as a sacrifice for the rebellion and the waywardness, the cancerous sin that was let loose on the world right after creation. And then Christ proved that his words and his actions were on target by rising from the dead, just as he predicted. And the eyewitness testimony, we know, is fantastic. And I am now excited to announce that we are going to be entering another phase of the study of apologetics at Trinity College this fall. Would you say that it's never too early to let people know how they could sign up for our fall course on apologetics?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful.
Yeah, because I know that you have studied C.S. Lewis. Nick Shalla, you studied our course at Trinity College on intelligent design, Darwinism and its battle and discussion debate with intelligent design. And when you take the apologetics course at Trinity College, you can combine all of those threads into one amazing study. And so we're pretty excited to be able to share that we have that coming up this fall, actually starting in the latter part of August. And you can contact me if you're interested in more materials on that course of study. The overview of apologetics will entail the reading of amazing books, including the opening 10 chapters of Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And, of course, Trinity College of Florida allows you to take the course virtually online. In other words, you can, just as if you were there in the classroom, you can participate either live or that you can participate like indirectly through the recorded lectures and discussions. So we'd love to give you more information if you're listening online somewhere in the U.S. or even other parts of the world. We would love to see if we can work it out so that you can actually take the entire 15-week course on apologetics, the study of the defense, the explanation, and vindication of the Christian revelation through Christ and the Bible. So I know that we are today having a unique opportunity to talk about resources that people can use and tap into even when you find that you're kind of sequestering at home. I know that many states of the United States are right now here and there on their own timeline opening up to business as usual. This is, of course, in Florida where we're taping this program, so our state is taking a medium cautious view. And so I am very rarely going out, just trying to obey the guidelines and regulations. But you don't have to go out to like a movie theater to see some fantastic films that have now been made available for free for the first time and for about another couple weeks. For example, Alustra Media, and you can access them at alustramedia.com. the first paragraph on that webpage will explain about the free streaming. So the IllustraMedia.com website has this shocking, this exhilarating, this exciting announcement of streaming their, not only their apologetics, Bible focus, but also their nature, the cosmos, the living world focused movies. And the one that I was going to mention, very important, I'm having my students here at our Trinity College study of apologetics watch it, and that is Darwin's Dilemma. I think that you have seen Nick Schaller, Darwin's Dilemma. What did you think of that film?
Oh, it's really good, and we also have the link on our apologetics.org page if you go to the homepage. And what's really cool about Illustra Media is not only Lat Allen, who's an amazing guy, he's one of the co-creator of Illustra Media, but the movies are so good for just about anybody to watch. You don't have to have a PhD in science. They break it down really well, and they just make it really easy to understand, but they also don't take any of the meat out of it.
Yeah, that's what I love about Illustra Media. You know, I think that, you know, the whole idea of creating a documentary film that it both teaches you, I mean, informs you, but also entertains you, that's extremely fun, exhilarating, exciting to watch. I mean, how often do those two happen together? Almost never. Yet Illustra Media pulls it off brilliantly at time after time. There is, of course, the Darwin's Dilemma film. Listed there, when you click instant streaming, live streaming, you can click either of the two links that are in the first paragraph. And that amazing Darwin's Dilemma film is joined with another 12 feature-length films, anywhere from 45 to 65 minutes on each one of those, I believe. And then we have, now, the Darwin's Dilemma film gives the case for intelligent design through the fossil record, specifically through the Cambrian explosion. And like I said, you can actually watch that film for a limited time through the end of May for free. But in addition to Darwin's Dilemma, I made another discovery today. Nick, are you seated? Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
So another group of scholars have come together, about 10 PhD geologists, physicists, chemists, biologists of all kinds, all you know, areas and fields of study, have come together under the leadership of Del Tackett. Some of you have heard of Del Tackett. He is the main spokesperson for the Truth Project. Well, they've created a film that is called Is Genesis History? And believe it or not, starting just a month ago, starting the very tail end of March, they made that stream live for the entire planet. And so I was shocked when I saw that, and I literally sat down and watched the first 55, 60 minutes over the last 12 hours, and I really was breathing the word wow. I just kept saying to myself, wow. I mean, so if you want to watch those two films, the advantage is you get in Darwin's Dilemma, the what we would normally call the old Earth creation perspective, which has powerful information all the way through. They don't really make a huge point on that, but you get the old Earth creation perspective, and the young Earth would be more of the perspective on the Is Genesis History. And I tell my students, and Nick, you've had me as a professor as well, but I tell my students, yes, develop your own perspective on creation and intelligent design, you know, how you interpret Genesis. I myself, you know, have explain my eclectic view, but my view is that on an educational level, everybody should know the best educational information on both of those perspectives. And that way, we can avoid the heat and shed more light. In other words, if I, let's say, I just, for example, if I have a younger perspective, and my friend over here in my class has an older perspective, or flip it around. If I have an old perspective, old Earth perspective, and my friend has a young Earth perspective, you know, where creation would be, let's say, in the last 10 or 15,000 years. So then we can appreciate and understand where the other person is coming from without, of course, necessarily switching our perspective. But we can have a respectful mutual dialogue and know the various lines of evidence and arguments of the other person's position. Nick, what do you think? Does that work for you, that approach of listening to both sides?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it shouldn't be made a salvation issue, obviously, but it does matter immensely. And mm-hmm. I think that being educated on both sides and recognizing that there are scholars and there are theologians and apologists on both sides is an important note definitely to make.
Yes, and of course, both of those sides would look at the case for Darwinism as, you know, the evidence for neo-Darwinism is between weak and non-existent. Let me repeat that phrase. It comes from the late, great law professor, Philip Johnson, University of California at Berkeley. So he was no slouch intellectually. He wrote Darwin on Trial and four other amazing books after that. So Philip Johnson said, to sum it up, the evidence for neo-Darwinian evolution, macroevolution, is somewhere between extremely weak and non-existent. And I think he made that statement in the early 1990s, and I would say that statement is far more true now than it was when he aired it originally. And of course, that's where we have gone in many of our individual programs here on The Universe Next Door, and I'll be mentioning some of that evidence right here in just a moment as we go through our series that we've been putting up on Facebook. Nick, so I know that the Facebook platform C.S. Lewis Society has had for a number of years, and let me just ask you, since you work with youth at your church here in the Tampa Bay area, mm-hmm. do children, let's say 7 or 8, 9 years old, may not have a Facebook page, but the youth, junior high and high school, that you work with today, are they into Instagram more or Twitter, or do they still, most of them still have a Facebook page?
Yeah, some of them use Facebook, and a lot of them like to use those different, like Snapchat or TikTok or whatever it is, the things where you can post the shorter videos and stuff like that. Okay. So they're all over technology, though.
They probably know twice as much about it as I do, and maybe even as you do. But
yeah, three times.
One of the things that we've tried to do is update and really go super hyperactive on our Facebook page during this time of coronavirus. And I was so excited when our leadership team approved my crazy, zany, wild idea of posting at least 2 and sometimes 3 times a week a new Did You Know item, a nugget of information that is fun and interesting and almost like a bit shocking at times. But Did You Know... has been the title of our series. And so that's the title of our program today. And if you ever want to just, you know, look us up, you just need to do C.S. Lewis, punch in the name C.S. Lewis, and then the word society, that's our full name, and then just enter that into your standard Facebook page connection. So, again, let me just jump in and say that we have started a series. The first one went up April 1st, and so as we move into the month of May, we will continue for about another week. But they're still housed right there on the main page. So one of them, of our very earliest Facebook posts on the Did You Know series, is Did You Know That There Is a Vast Treasure Trove, a Gold Mine, a video coverage of the main lines of evidence for design. And, of course, that is the IllustraMedia.com. That Did You Know, you can find there, with the picture of Illustra Media spread across a computer screen. Now, let me go to the one that we had on Laniakea. So this is my quiz question for you, my friend Nick. Did you know that you live in Laniakea?
I did not.
Shock of shocks.
You learn something new every day.
Yes, you learn something, absolutely. Well, I think I may have mentioned this very briefly in one of our other programs, but I think I barely touched on it. Laniakea is an amazing discovery, and to me, when I really tripped onto this just about 6 weeks ago, and I realized, did I fall asleep at the wheel? You know, I am a geek. I am a complete astronomy nerd. And I love to learn about the galaxies and the galactic clusters, but I didn't know that a professor of astronomy up at the University of Hawaii, jointly with other professors in Tel Aviv, Israel, in France. I think there was some others in up in Norway. But these group of professors were trying to understand how our galactic neighborhood, that is the Milky Way, with all these other galaxies, seem to be coordinated together in a huge dance, like a motion in space, like we're twirling in a particular passage through space, headed toward an object or a group of objects that we don't know quite what it is, but it's called the Great Attractor. And as I was reading about Laniakea, which, by the way, is the Hawaiian phrase or word for immense heaven, yes, an immense heaven. But Laniakea is the name given to our new galactic cluster, which includes, you know, groups or whole neighborhoods of galaxies, sometimes 20, 30, 50, or 100 or more. But then you get into superclusters that are 5,000 galaxies. Now, that is quite a neighborhood. Each of those galaxies has anywhere from 100 to 200 billion up to a trillion stars. So do the math. You're looking at stars innumerable, more than the sands of the seashore. And so we then go to these galactic clusters with 5,000, superclusters with 10,000 galaxies. Laniakea, if you take all these clusters together and realize that they're one enormous neighborhood, has over 100,000 galaxies. Welcome to our new continent in space, Laniakea. So maybe when you write your address, Nick Shalnut, you can put Nick Shalnut, you know, put your address in Dunedin, and then put USA, and then below that you can put Laniakea.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over well.
Yes, make sure it gets to the right galactic cluster as it zooms through space. Well, that's one of the did-you-know little shockers. We've also been monitoring in our work with C.S. Lewis during this coronavirus, because we've actually been teaching not one but two courses at Trinity College. One of them combined the study of C.S. Lewis with apologetics, and the other was focused entirely on the life and writings of C.S. Lewis. So our Lewis studies and our Lewis students in those classes were fascinated to learn, and I was equally fascinated, that the idea of quarantine is found in Lewis's writings. Now, this to me is amazing. I mean, a lot of people out there are having to undergo one or several kinds of quarantine. I think you're aware, Nick, that I had to quarantine for 2 weeks when I arrived back from Serbia.
Yeah, that was a crazy story.
It was a crazy time. And I want to thank you for helping me so efficiently and beautifully to kind of manage and run our entire broadcast ministry at that time. But when I was quarantined, and I was thinking on this, wait a minute, hold on just a second. The idea of quarantine is used in C.S. Lewis's book, Paralandra. I'm pulling it off the shelf here in my office. And as I open up my copy of Paralandra, C.S. Lewis's book on the trip to Venus that was taken by the hero in the three books, Ransom. Dr. Elwin Ransom is a professor at Oxford, and he is a student and a professor now of languages, philology. And so the character Ransom is the focal point of all these adventures in the three science fiction novels. By the way, Lewis, of course, was one of the founders of science fiction as a field or genre in literature. Very exciting to realize the diversity of his writing approach and the settings that he used. But in this novel, Lewis is having Ransom sent by a special vehicle. It looked like a crystalline coffin, this rectangular, almost super cube elongated to fit his body, is placed on the planet Venus, and he meets a woman who is like the Eve of the Adam and Eve. Adam has suddenly been separated on another floating mat vegetation island. Yes, that planet has actual floating islands that are made of thick vegetation and trees and animals of all descriptions. And so on the planet Venus, there, Paralandra, the hero, Ransom, realizes eventually that he is needing to help the lady confront a tempter. So in this setting, unlike the Garden of Eden, the tempter is one of his fellow professors who arrives in his own ship from Earth and who sets out to get the woman to fall into the violation of God's commands. I'll leave the entire explanation of the book's plot to a later point where we can maybe, without too many spoiler alerts, just give a little bit of the Christian power of this novel. But what really focused my attention was he brings in the idea of a quarantine. Yes, so who is quarantined? Well, the Earth. The Earth is, according to what Lewis is bringing out, the focus of God's quarantine, because he, through the space that separates Earth from the other planets and from other star systems and even other galaxies, that vastness of space is like God's quarantining the Earth, setting it apart so that the sin virus doesn't spread to other parts of the universe. It's a very interesting concept. In our Did You Know series on our Facebook page, we actually quoted this sentence. I'll go ahead and read it real quickly. It is the idea that humanity, having now sufficiently corrupted the planet where it arose, must at all costs contrive to seed itself over a larger area, that the vast astronomical distances, which are God's quarantine regulations, must somehow be overcome. So what he's saying there is that the bad guy, Weston, is part of this movement which thinks, well, no, we've got to spread out beyond the quarantine system that has apparently been put in place, and we must break over and introduce ourselves to other intelligent beings. And Lewis said in a number of essays that he wrote on this topic, you know, if there are intelligent beings out there created by God, he said, you know, almost assuredly they are not fallen. If they do exist, of course, there's no evidence that they exist. But he says in one of his essays, he says, if we are finally able to, as a world, become right with God, then and only then would I feel comfortable about our species making an attempt to meet and interact with other intelligent species out there, lest we inject our problems into their setting. So, I mean, I'm not saying that we should build doctrine on this, but Lewis was aware of the separation of Earth as something like a quarantine that had been set up by divine providence. And then, of course, the future is a bright one, because this Earth will be remade and will be made righteous under the rule of Christ when he returns. And there will be actually a new heavens and a new Earth. Let me mention, just for everybody, your homework assignment as you consider looking up on our C.S. Lewis Society Facebook page, one of the newer embedded, again, Did You Know nuggets, is a pair of nuggets on DNA. So I would encourage you to look up those two. One actually has a picture of DNA, and the other has a chimp presented there as the featured picture. Why do we talk about the DNA of a chimp? Because chimpanzees are said to be our closest relatives by DNA. And yet, the problem with that is that the supposed 1% differential between chimp and human DNA has been found to be a faulty figure. It cannot be supported. There are 7 ways of comparing chimp and human DNA, and only one of them comes anywhere close, and really it's not that close, to the 1% differential. And so, in that particular chimp image, you'll see an amazing set of facts, 3 facts, in fact, that will show that the argument for evolution from chimp and human DNA is shredded as we watch through new discoveries. Well, did you know? We're out of time. And it's time for everybody to go to that C.S. Lewis Society Facebook page and enjoy our new Did You Know series. Thank you for listening to The Universe Next Door.
Thank you for listening, and if you have any questions or comments, email us at information@apologetics.org and check out our website, apologetics.org. See you back here next week on The Universe Next Door.
You've been listening to The Universe Next Door with Dr. Tom Woodward, sponsored by the C.S. Lewis Society and Trinity College of Florida, and supported through the gifts of listeners just like you. To gather resources, continue the conversation, and support The Universe Next Door with your financial gifts, go to apologetics.org. That's apologetics.org. And join us again again next time as we continue to seek the truth about life, faith, and worldview in The Universe Next Door.